chapter 9. Let us read at verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 56, just the last sentence of the verse, and they went to another village. Chapter 13. Verse 6, really we should begin the story. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Chapter 14, verse 31, Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. Chapter 15. Just verse 28, we have read this in previous nights, about the elder son who did not go into the feasting with his younger brother who had returned, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Verse 31, And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Chapter 24 will be our closing reading. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, two had come back to them, and they were speaking about the Lord's appearing to them on the day of his resurrection. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Verse 40, And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now in this varied reading from Luke's Gospel, I want to bring to your attention tonight 5 last things that Luke presents to us. In chapter 9, there is a last quest by the Lord Jesus. If we were to put the gospel records together, this is not the first time the Lord Jesus has visited a village of the Samaritans. In John chapter 4, which was early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he had been to a village of the Samaritans, and the whole village was moved. And many in that village had been saved through the testimony of a woman and through seeing the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus now is making a last visit through this same village, this same area. He is making a last trip, a last look. He has come to Samaria, lest there should be any that are there still to receive salvation. When you look at the past, there are days when others have been saved. Others that they knew, perhaps, have come to know the Lord Jesus. I wonder if there are some in the meeting tonight, and that's just where you are. You are aware of others that have come to know the Savior. And you look back to the past, and there are days when they were saved. And you remember when they first told you how they were saved. And you saw the smile of joy written on their face. Why, they were in the good, the enjoyment of God's salvation. The Lord Jesus is making another visit. And it is the last visit. He is looking for a last time for souls to be saved from the Samaritans. We have been reminded already tonight of the coming of the Lord. There is something that makes me wonder in the day in which we are living. We are thankful to God for every soul that is saved. But we cannot help but notice so often that there seem to be so few getting God's salvation. I wonder, is it possible that as it was in Samaria, the Lord Jesus spoke about a day of harvest when he was there in John chapter 4, and almost all the harvest has been removed. And he is just going back now to see if there has been anything left that was not harvested before. Just the last little gleanings of the field. This is the closing visit. This is the last opportunity. Is it possible we missed one soul in Samaria? That's the days in which we are living, it seems. Days when the Lord's coming is so near. Days when so few are getting saved. I wonder if the reason why these gospel meetings are being held in Vancouver at this time are because heaven is making a last visit for souls that are here tonight. Is it possible that God has brought us from the other side of the continent to preach the gospel just before the Lord Jesus comes? And there are those, God knows there are those here we would love to see saved. If this were the last series of gospel meetings we were ever privileged to have, then thank God we're here. And thank God we have the privilege of preaching to you. Dear soul, we would like to see you in before the Lord comes, and before the harvest is past, and before the last opportunity of salvation is gone from you forever. A last breath. A few years ago in a home, where the folks were receiving a magazine called Modern Maturity, that's a retirement magazine for people, there was a story told in there about a sailor, of an incident that happened during war games or war exercises out in the North Atlantic. There was a U.S. aircraft carrier and a British aircraft carrier, and they had their jets that had scrambled onto two decks, and they were doing their maneuvers in the skies and cooperating together, and just so suddenly, fog rolled in and closed in both of those aircraft carriers. And the aircraft that were above were alerted, and they were waiting for the fog to open up, and slowly the fuel was running out of those aircraft. And they began to make plans. And they planned with 24 planes aloft that those planes were all to ditch into the sea at a certain location that was all predetermined. And those two vessels would steam into that area and try to gather as many as of the pilots from the sea as they could if it came to that effect. And they were waiting and waiting, and when it seemed as if they were about to have to carry out their contingency plan, just at that moment there came an opening. And the tower at the top of the aircraft carrier became visible to the man that was watching. And he sent out the alarm, the fog is lifting, and they began to get those planes all lined up, and the instructions were, make for a deck, it doesn't matter whether it's your native cousin or not, make for a deck. And one by one, the cloud that the fog lifted, those birds came landing down there on the runway on the aircraft, one after another, of one flag and another flag, and they were coming in one by one, and the man that wrote that article said, it almost seemed to be a little before. They came in, we counted them. One by one, they were all accounted for, and there was one more to come in. And he said, it seemed as if it was all a strange movie. And that last plane began its descent right down toward the deck, riding right on the tail of that vessel as the fog came right back in. They watched that jet cut down, and it hooked out that big line in the back, and it screeched to a halt, and the fog covered every wall. We were all covered over for days, but there was another break. One last jet cut in. Just in before the fog comes in. I wonder if there's some soul in the gospel meeting tonight. And it may be, dear soul, if you make for the shore, it may be you'll make the last landing, and the Lord Jesus will come. A last quest. Here are some, and the Lord Jesus is making his last visit to Samaria. Do you know what the tragedy was?
There were those in Samaria that could not receive us. How touching is the sentence we read just a few verses later.
They went to another village. The Savior was there.
A lot of opportunity was told. He was never coming back to Samaria to bring them salvation. And there were some there. They turned a deaf ear to the Savior.
He moved on to others.
But the hymn writer has said it's true for you in the meeting tonight. If you still his call refuse, and all his wondrous love abuse, soon, sadly, he will from you turn. Nor better plead for mercy's burn. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by.
He is stopping at your door tonight for the last question there. God grant you may not miss this poor opportunity.
The Lord Jesus tells us in chapter 13 of what I would call a last request. In the picture of that fig tree, the man has come, to check. He has come looking for fruit 1 year, and another one is so good, and he is going to have the tree cut down.
Interceding is another man, the dresser of Israel, and he says,
let me dig about it and dung this year off. Give me one more year.
The man that owned the vineyard, the man who had all the right fellowship to that tree, said, I'm coming back for one last look. It bears fruit left. It is not. And after that, I was like that. That fruit tree was responsible to one man.
And the assessment was not the fig trees, it was the man's assessment.
And the assessment the Lord Jesus was giving was very plainly this. It was the nation of Israel the Lord Jesus had come to, 1 year and another year, and there was no fruit.
Oh yes, they were full of religion, they were full of good words, they were courteous in the large Spartan crowd were following the Lord Jesus, but no fruit. There are souls in the meeting tonight. And the charge that we lay to your feet this evening is this, that for all else that you may say, we're very glad you're so courteous at the door, we're glad you smile when we welcome you, we're glad to see you, but dear soul tonight, the great problem is this, there has never been anything in your life for God, no fruit. All your religion has never brought the slightest pleasure to God. All your endeavors to do good, and to give to the good cause of that, to develop good character and all the rest, no fruit!
You know what John said to those people? He said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. What God is looking for is repentance, and until there's repentance, there's no possibility of fruit in that tree of life.
None. None. Never been a time when you acknowledge to God your sin. There's no possibility of fruit for God. Nothing.
God, the point as to when that last inquest will be held. Whenever I think of this story, I think of a young man of whom I was reminded in the meeting just before coming here to Manson. And to my teaching, old story I have heard before, how I read it.
Very touching to me to hear him tell the story because he was involved in the incidents that he records and that he speaks of himself. There came a night in a gospel meeting when he preached from just the passage I am mentioning now. It was in the assembly where he is at home. There was a boy in that audience that was in his Sunday school class. And as the preacher was preaching about the possibility of God passing a sentence, after that thou shalt cut it down. He had no idea what was going on in that boy's heart.
As that boy listened to the gospel being preached in the solemn morning of his coming to him, he recognized God speaking to him. This is my time. And as that boy sat the remainder of that meeting, he didn't listen to anything else that was said. He began reading through his Bible, longing to get God's salvation. If God has said it, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. I have got to get salvation, and I have got to get salvation tonight.
And as he leaped through his Bible, he came finally to Isaiah chapter 53, and he was reading verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that boy, Bruce, simply took the message from the Word of God.
He claimed the seizure of the Lord, sitting at his. He told no one for the next 7 days. He came back to the meeting the next Sunday night. Now this was not a series of meetings, this was just a regular Sunday night meeting. And after the next Sunday night meeting, he went to one of the men responsible there among the Christians, and he said, I just want to tell you what happened to me last week. And he had to tell a story to the men. Let me get some of the rest of the men together. And they did something they had never done before there. A number of the men just sat down around while this boy Bruce began to tell them how to escape. And my, if they listened to the story, it was how simply and clear he spoke to them. And the hearts were there.
And on Wednesday afternoon, the phone came in. Because Bruce went out with the rest of the members of his class out for a swimming lunch. And the boys had been bothering the lifeguards terribly, pestering them with,
help, help, I'm drowning. And then the lifeguard decided to make a move, and everything was all right.
So when Bruce began to call out there because he had a cramp, he began to call out, help, help. The lifeguard thought he was just about one of the boys swimming around. And they hesitated. And when the cries kept coming and they saw the boy bobbing, they suddenly went for him. But when they reached him, it was too late. Bruce was gone 10 days after God had spoken to him. After that. It's a mercy that that boy listened to God's word. I wonder how many other times there are souls that have heard the same voice from God that they haven't listened. And I wonder tonight, dear soul, if God is not speaking in the ear of some soul here. God has made the appointment. He's not telling you and he hasn't told us when it is. But God has made the appointment. And there will be a lasting rest.
Over.
Cut it down. God. No hope left behind. God into a long lost eternity.
What I want you to notice in chapter 15. There's a message of grace, there's a last request. It is a strange way that that story ends. We dwell on the first part of the story, but there's a strangeness to the way the story ends. It ends with the father still pleading with that boy. He won't come in. And the father is still pleading. And the Lord Jesus has brought the story to that pitch, and there it is.
And we are left to understand that there is a last request from God. I want you to know that when we preach these kind of things, I trust in the presence of God we do so carefully. I would never want to be accused of crying wolf. You know the old story. And people get so used to hearing it, they don't really think it's real anymore. But I do want to say tonight, dear soul, that God is entreating you. That there is a request from the heart of God. It's the same word that Paul uses when he describes his great mission in the work of the gospel. In Christ's stead, we beseech you, be reconciled to God. Listen, dear soul, tonight, where you are sitting, the Almighty has sat down beside you and is breathing in your ear a request, dear soul, bow to the word of God. Do not go on any longer in your sins. Bow before God in knowledge. I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, I'm not worthy. The Almighty is entreating with a bow and repent. What will you do, dear soul, when you find out that the Almighty stopped by your side in the gospel meeting for the last time? All men and women are playing fast and loose with God. As if God were another man. And they can dismiss God like they can dismiss the preacher. Dear soul, this evening, you are dealing with the Almighty. It's grace that brings a last request to the sinner. But the day of grace will not last forever. No repentance. The problem with the boy was he would not bow. to his own need. He was using language as the language of Job, holding fast his integrity. And there are some in the meeting tonight, and you are clutching to the rags of your own self-righteousness, and your soul, you're going to cling to it till you drop into hell, and you'll carry all the rags of your religion and self-righteousness with you and be lost forever. Oh, that you might bow in the presence of God tonight and heed the call of grace and take the place of a guilty sinner as God is requesting, pleading with your soul tonight. And I hesitate to say it. I wonder, is God speaking to some souls in the meeting tonight? Well, that's the quest. Chapter 14. There is a king that is coming against the rebel. It is the last conquest. The Lord Jesus is speaking about a king with 20,000 soldiers. I wonder if he's referring to the words of Psalm 68, when the psalmist says the chariots of the Lord are 20,000. Kings of armies are fleeing apace at the presence of the Almighty. Psalm 68. And now Luke chapter 14, the Almighty is moving against a man who is in rebellion against him. Dear soul, God has sat silent while you have resisted his every overture. What are you going to do when you stand face to face with the Almighty and the awesome power of a living God suspending your soul? And you and your sin. God moving against the sinner. In judgment. And the soul, I'm thinking of the language of Hebrews chapter 10. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Face to face with the Almighty against whom you have sinned. And the books to be opened. And the book of life to be searched. And the piercing eye of the Almighty to peer into your soul. Bind them hand and foot and take them away and cast them into utter darkness. Cast from the presence of God by almighty power. Into the blackness of eternal darkness. The decision of the lesser king is very simple. It is either peace or perish. The decision of every soul in the meeting tonight is an absolute ultimatum from the Almighty. Is it going to be tonight to go after God's salvation? To cry out to God for peace? Or will it be, dear soul, to go on into the face of the storm that is gathering before you? Sinner, stop and look before you. See the storm cloud gathering over you. To the cross of Jesus fly, lest forever you will cry, still unsaved, still unsaved. The last bequest of the Lord Jesus in chapter 24. Is a very simple statement I want to leave with you tonight. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. Each gospel he leaves something different with his own. In Luke chapter 24 he says, peace be unto you. That's why we read that he showed them his hands and his feet. There can be no peace for them apart from his wounded hands and feet. Oh, thank God, my dear soul. There's a Savior that is speaking peace to men and women tonight. He's speaking peace because at Calvary, he bore the wounds. Listen again to the text we have quoted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment that we might have peace was upon him.
Dear soul tonight, do you not see that the message of the gospel is this? There is peace for you because the Savior has died. He has borne the wrath of God for the sinner at Calvary. He has paid to God whatever the sinner owes.
And there is peace tonight for sinners. Peace be unto you, says the Lord Jesus. Because he was wounded at Calvary. No peace for a sinner when there's sin between him and God. Dear soul, tonight the Lord Jesus went to Calvary to deal with that very question. And every soul this evening that has peace with God has peace with God because he was wounded for me.
Wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All.
Because Jesus was wounded for me. His wounds tonight speak peace. The troubled sinner. Those wounds are all that is needed. Dear soul, this evening you need nothing more than the work that Christ has finished at Calvary.
If you were to rest your soul's eternal destiny on what the Lord Jesus has accomplished, there is nothing more required. Ah, the blessed message of the gospel is that the Christ that died is living. God is satisfied with the work that he accomplished at Calvary.
And there is absolutely nothing need be added to the work of Christ at Calvary. You could know your every sin forgiven tonight. Because the work that is required is finished. 1900 years ago. His wounds, peace be unto you. And I want you to see his words. He communicated peace to them by his own word. I wonder if there's someone in the meeting tonight and the question that is in your mind just at this moment is this. How could I have this peace? You will receive peace with God through the word of God. You will not receive peace with God through your emotions. You will not receive peace with God through some tangle of a one of your spine. You will not receive peace with God when tears are flowing down your face necessarily. There is peace with God available through the word that the Lord Jesus speaks. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to you tonight personally. Will you take it that way from him? Peace be unto you. The wounds at Calvary were to meet your need, dear sinner. Peace. Because I suffer. Upon the tree. God grant tonight you might take the word of the Savior for yourself. And tonight, for the first time in your life, have God's word to assure you that you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, in simple dependence upon the Spirit of God to do his work, we commit thy word to thee this evening. We pray that there will be some tonight that will have their eyes open to look at truth in the light of the word of God. And we pray that there will be souls this evening who will come to know this blessed Savior as their own. May there be some turned back to Calvary. May there be some, Lord, whose eyes will be open to see the Lord Jesus dying upon the tree as their Savior, revealed to them by the truth of thy word. And may there be souls tonight that will claim peace through what the Lord Jesus suffered upon the tree. Grant thy blessing upon thy word. Lord, thou knowest our hearts are overwhelmed. When we think of those that are with us tonight, and the great likelihood is that for many, if not for all, these meetings and perchance this meeting could be a last visit from God. Lord, have mercy upon souls, we do humbly pray. Grant that they may realize the seriousness of these eternal matters. And grant that souls tonight might close in with Christ as their Savior. We pray in his worthy name, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. From every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy in their love. Yeah.
Savior, in your name.